Amen. Amen. Let's turn that hand clap of praise to the Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When we called him on his name in prayer, his name is the only name that we can call on to move mountains, to heal the sick, to cause the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. Amen. He's the only name that we can call on to sort out whatever the devil's made crooked. Amen. I am thankful to serve alongside other ministers in this church. Thank you for the kind words, Brother Paul. Junior church is dismissed. Thank you for ministers to remind me of things like that. The great part about being part of a team is you are part of a team. There's no I in team. There is a negative connotation to that that I won't repeat, but there is no I in team. I am sorry that our pastor is sick. We're praying for a speedy recovery. I have seen firsthand what this sickness does to my house. By the grace of God, I've escaped it thus far, and I'm praying that it just continues and continues, and I never receive it because I do not want that. It is a bug that I don't want any part of. Amen. As you can see to the left and right, we are missing several individuals of our family that are caught with this bug. People say, and I agree, science, it's hard to refute, but when it's cold, it kills bugs and illnesses. Well, it needs to become more cold because I'm tired of this virus. Amen. Don't shoot me. I don't want it to be cold either. But if we can get rid of this, we will have all of our people back to normal. Amen. I am just happy to be here. I am grateful for the honor to step into this pulpit that's shared with so many great ministers. And I'm just ready to see what God is going to do. Any minister will tell you that it's not just what we do because we're simply an instrument. If we are caught up in our prayer life and if we have a relationship with God, then we'll just be an instrument that God will speak through. And that's all we are. Just like this microphone is just a tool. So I pray and I ask that his word will go forth. Before I go into the scripture, I'd like to pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the congregation that's here today, Lord. I ask that you'd move through my lips and through my words, that you would deliver your word and let it fall on fertile ground. Let their lives be changed, their hearts changed, and their minds changed as well, Lord. Have your way in this service. In your name, amen. I'd like to direct your attention to Galatians 4, 1 through 7, and I'll have you sitting down shortly. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Brother Paul even alluded to this in his lesson today, of son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want you all to understand that your pedigree is not permanent. That's the title of today's message. Your pedigree is not permanent. If you're going to help me preach, give your neighbor a high five and you may be seated. Amen. I heard a lot of misses right there, so we need to practice on our high fives. Everyone has, most of us have an ID. If you look at this, you know that I'm an old person because I have this ID. I believe the newer ones are like this. But this ID tells most likely police officers what my name is, what color my eyes are, how much I weigh. We scribble that part out. Amen. It's usually a mugshot because they don't let us smile. So we have, you know, in my case, three chins. It says where I live. Basically just a rundown of who I am. They made it even easier where you can scan the barcode. And no one has to type anything anymore. So no one can fudge on your weight. But this ID card identifies who I am. says my first and last name, my middle name, shows where I live. And through that, they can find what I do, how long I've lived there, who I'm related to, right? What everything is going on in my life. Any felonies? Any jobs? Any debt? You can find anything you want about me through that ID card. Galatians 4 primarily emphasizes that through faith in Christ, believers are no longer slaves to the law, but are adopted as God's children. Experiencing freedom in a personal relationship with God as sons or heirs, essentially arguing against the idea of trying to earn salvation through works of the law. If you are a Bible scholar, or just take a quick Google search, under the law, meaning they used to have to kill animals to atone for their sins. But they couldn't kill them themselves. They had to go through a priest, and there was a process. There was a lot of different situations that were under the law. The Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus because they were trying to force the law. Even after Jesus Christ went back to heaven, they were still trying to fight the disciples and apostles under the law. So under the law is a very important thing. Jesus fulfilled the law by him dying on the cross. He erased the law. It's no longer important. It's no longer necessary. The veil was torn. The law in the Old Testament refers to the time when people believed that obedience to the commandments was the way to gain acceptance into heaven. The Apostle Paul contrasts this with the forgiveness that believers now have because of God's grace. The cross wasn't just Jesus dying. He was fulfilling the law and giving us the opportunity of grace. He was giving us an opportunity to be adopted into his family. You see, I come from a family, on my mother's side, she was adopted. And I know there's all kinds of different scenarios with adoptions, but she is, I believe, one of 11. And my grandparents have 3 of their own. I may have the numbers wrong, but there's probably 100 of us now. I can't keep track. They adopted my mother, and they gave her a new name. They gave her a new life, a new opportunity, a new perspective on everything that's happened to her in the past. And guess what? My mom won't be mad at me. Sometimes that life tries to pop back up again. And I'm not going to say whether it's a good or a bad life, but sometimes that life tries to return to remind her of where she came from, not of where she is now. The Bible says that people are no longer bound by the law, thank God, because they died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Instead, people can serve God in a new way, living in the Spirit. This is an exciting way to live because we don't have to kill our favorite lambs. We don't have to confess to someone else about our sins. We live under grace. And thank God for grace, because I don't know about you, I am not worth any of that. The leadership of this time frame believed that the only way to enter heaven is by works. We know that faith without works is dead. They are a pair. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot get to heaven on roller skates. I'm sorry. You cannot get to heaven in a limousine. It's an old song. I don't know if anyone else remembers that song or not. They believed that they were saved by just doing things. If that was the case, I would be a priest because I do a lot. We would all be priests because we do a lot for the kingdom. We go to church. I'm preaching now. We teach. We sweep. Brother Schultz, I'm sorry. I'm not knocking that. I've washed so many windows that I could probably buy a mansion in heaven. But works do not get me to eternity. Works do not get us the ticket to heaven. It can't be done. Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man boast. I'm a man, so I'm competitive anyway. And I would brag all day long if it got me to heaven. You know how many football yards worth of carpet I've swept in my life, Brother Schultz? I know he beats me. He's not in here. I wish he was, because him and my dad are like, they sweep and they love it. And I can't, no. Don't do it. Paul uses the analogy of an heir who is under guardians until he comes of age to explain how Christians were once slaves to the law, but are now free children of God through Christ. It's almost like we went through adolescence and now we are 18. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you are now an adult. You are no longer bound by guardians or parents. And for some reason, we think that's a good thing when we're 18. We no longer have rules, but now we have bills. In this case, we no longer have rules, now we have freedom. When we're under grace instead of the law, we have freedom. The chapter is explaining the Holy Spirit is the key element that enables believers to call God Abba or Father and experience the full freedom of sonship. We believe this chapter to be written for the Galatians who are being pressured by the Jews to follow the Jewish traditions instead of the apostles' teachings. Paul was encouraging the Galatian church here. He was saying, don't give in. Don't give in to the leadership of this day and age pressuring you to following the law. I delivered you from the law. You don't have to follow that anymore. Paul tells them that Jesus didn't die on the cross for them to ignore the availability of grace that's offered to them. That same grace is offered to us today. The old ways of doing things, the old life that we used to live, the old people we used to know, the old family that we were a part of, doesn't have to hold us down. Your past will creep up on you so fast, you don't even know it's happening until it's there. And it's just whispering in your ear saying, you did this and this and this. You said this. You lived like this. The old you is sitting back in the corner of your mind and just waiting for you to slip up. Waiting for you to stub your toe in the middle of the night. Waiting for you to meet that person that you used to get high with. Waiting for you to just mess up, to get onto the internet and see that, watch that video that you used to watch. That old you is saying, I knew you'd mess up. You really thought this time would be different, didn't you? What makes you think you can live for God now with that kind of past? The devil will whisper in your ear. Your own inner dialogue will tell you that, it will try to convince you that you're not worthy enough. Sometimes a family member or a friend will even say, come on, man, you don't really go to church. You just follow the motions. Yesterday will ruin tomorrow so bad that you waste today worrying about it. God changed Jacob's name. We remember Jacob, right? Jacob and Esau. Changed Jacob's names, which meant supplanter, trickster, liar to Israel, which means having power with God. This was after he had tricked his father and his son, his brother. This was after he lied to his dad. This was after he lied to his uncle, and his uncle lied to him. He stole his brother's inheritance. You see, throughout time, our pedigrees were what helped us get through life. Our lineages were important. Genealogies have been important from the start of humanity. Oh, you're a son of Adam. Oh, you're a son of David. Pedigrees have created alliances. They've caused wars. They've destroyed families. They've made friends. They've made enemies. If you were from a bad lineage, you were denied privileges. The Old Testament priests had to prove their genealogies in order to become a priest. And if they couldn't, they weren't allowed. Our family trees are important. Several years ago, I was given several boxes containing documents about my family tree. There's a lot. I've enjoyed sorting through that, finding different things, finding the family crest, looking to see where the Barkley name came from. You know, I brag about it used to be in Ireland. It used to be O'Barkley. Now it was Berkeley in England, and now it's Barkley. I still brag on it. Ask my wife. I love it. I like history. I like learning where I came from, right? There are good and bad pieces of my history. We just ignore the bad pieces. We focus on the good pieces, right? You got to get with me here. We focus on the good pieces. Our last names are used to identify who we are and whose we are. You can find a Barkley by looking at them. We have big foreheads. It's easy. People come up to me and say, Whose son are you? Andrew or Mark? Saying, well, how do you know that? They say your face. Okay. All right. Okay. Fine. That's the bad part that I ignore. Don't get me wrong. Being a Barclay is an honor. I don't take that the wrong way. But it won't get me to heaven. It won't buy my ticket to the Super Bowl. Right? I'm a sixth generation apostolic, but that won't get me to heaven. I was born in this. I remember people telling me I would fall asleep under the pew, but that does not guarantee me a place in eternity. Jacob deceived Esau and stole the birthright. Birthright was important. The firstborn would receive the birthright from their father, which means he could then carry on the lineage of his family, and he would receive everything from his father. Jacob lied to Esau and gave him a bowl of beef stew because he was so hungry. He didn't know that he was giving up his birthright to be a descendant in the lineage of Jesus. But Jacob knew. He lied to him. He was a supplanter. He was a trickster. Jacob didn't stop creating chaos because then he was tricked by his uncle, like I said before. Then his uncle tricked him, and then he ran. I'm going to ask this, and I know no one's done it, but have you ever made a bad decision in your life? No, surely not. Has that bad decision ever followed you? Brother Runyon said, if you made bad credit decisions 20 years ago, it's not going to be over in 6 months. If you make a bad decision when you're a teenager up till you're 18, sometimes that can be erased by the time you're 18. But once you turn 18, that follows you. One bad decision can follow you for the rest of your life. I'm not saying anything we don't know. Once Jacob heard that his brother Esau was coming to meet him, he panicked. I would too. He must have thought his brother was going to kill him. So Jacob decided to get it over with, and he went to meet his brother Esau. But during that journey, he wrestled with, some theologians believe it was a man, some believe it was an angel, but he wrestled with someone. And the scripture says that Jacob would not let go until he obtained a blessing. You see, and that man or angel, whatever it was, saw the insistent behavior, saw the demand of Jacob. And we know the story. He touched his side. So now he has a limp or whatever. He has a thorn in his flesh. But the most important part is God changed Jacob's name at that point. He changed his name to Israel and forever changed the trajectory of his family. You see, your pedigree is not permanent. No matter what you did in your past, if you've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen, God can change that in an instant. But we have to hold on until we get our blessing. And I'm stepping on my own toes, so I think I'm safe. Going to an altar for 20 seconds isn't going to change your life. Praying at your house for a minute here and there, yes, that's good. But if you want to change, if you want your pedigree to be changed, you have to hang on for a little bit longer. You have to wrestle with God and say, God, I'm not going to leave until you change me. The genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, 1 through 17 lists Jacob as a direct ancestor of Jesus before it was going to be Esau. And then he was probably going to die. And then Esau would have come back and been the oldest brother. But instead, Jacob got right with God. And God changed his name forever. Jesus changed the man's name from Simon to Peter. Paul's name was Saul before he converted to Christianity, so I think Paul knows what he's talking about in Galatians. Rahab was a prostitute, but she changed her life, and then she became a descendant of Jesus. God wants to do something in our lives today. He wants someone to know today that whatever family curses you think you have or you have, God can change that in an instant. Whatever curses you brought into this building today, God can remove those. From the beginning of humanity, we have placed immense pressure and supreme importance on our names. My name is Eric Barkley. When someone misspells it, I correct them. It's important to me. Don't disrespect my name, or as my mother-in-law so voraciously says, put some respect on my name. As funny as that is, you better put some respect on your name if you want to get into heaven. You better put some respect on God's genealogy right now. If you want to get into heaven, you better make that important. I'm not even looking at it right now. What comes with respect on our names? History comes with it. History comes when we change our names, good or bad. For the people of the Bible, names held great significance beyond the mere association of a word with the person. You could see their entire lives throughout their names. Ancient cultures, including Israel, believed that to know someone's name was to know them. To know that person's total character and nature. So if you really know me, and I introduce myself as Eric Barkley, you know me. You know where I've come from. You know where I'm going. You know what I'm doing right now. You see, the world assigns value to our names based on their own criteria. But when we choose to follow Christ and repent, we're baptized and with water and the Spirit, he gives us a new name. A name that doesn't carry the sinful weight of our past. Not the same weight that we used to be identified with, no. But a new name written down in glory. You see, when I encountered Jesus, yeah, I've been in church all my life, I was changed. And I don't mean just a little changed. I mean that when I walk with my head up. You see, when I come across the old people in my life, they say, what's different, Eric? You don't do this and this and this anymore. I say, no. They ask why, and I say, I'm happy you asked. I see, I gave my life to God. You see, I grew up in this, but I made a decision. See, I chose to change my pedigree. I chose to change my lineage. And I went to God and I said, God, change my life. You see, my son's not in here. But if I didn't make that decision back then, who knows? Who knows what his future would be like? You see, when you change your lineage, you make that decision, you don't know what's going to happen. But you know that it's written down in history that you changed. God changed your name. You can write your name down on paper. In this world, I could write it down on this paper right here. And it can be worth as much as that paper that I wrote it on. Most likely it is for me. But when your name is written down in the Lamb's book, the only book that matters, then you've changed your pedigree and you've altered your lineage. I don't want the world to write my name. Do you? I want God to write my name in his book. The world will assign whatever value they deem fitting for you. But I want you to know that God wrote a value next to your name. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and you and you, all of us. Your name means more now than it did before. The world is not our home. Amen. We're passing through. Amen. Your name, my name, our names are no longer anchors to hold us down anymore because we have a new name. Your pedigree is not permanent. Your lineage doesn't have to be your limit. My name is Eric Barkley. I'm son to Andrew and Donna Barkley, brother to Brian Barkley and Brianne Barkley, husband to Brianna Barkley and father to Elias Barkley. I'm 32. I'm a plumber. I enjoy sports, fast cars, and fishing and hunting. See, that's a little bio of me. That's if I was creating a Facebook page today, that's what I'd put in there. It's funny to me that a bio and an obituary are very similar. They often read the same. A short and concise paragraph or two describing what you were to people who do and don't know you. Within these words are years of failures and successes, experiences, conversations, and arguments. These words will fade after a while with those of your ancestors, and your lineage down the line will remember you for a while and then become another name on that branch, on that family tree. But you can change that today. You can change that today. You can make sure that your ancestors down the line remember you as the person that altered your lineage. Oh, Eric used to be a pistol, but I know for a fact that he claimed and he believes in God. I know there's so many testimonies in here of people who changed their pedigree. They were condemned. They were sentenced to a life, I don't even want to say it, just a life that no one wants. But you see, Brother Brennan, God pursued them. Just like God pursued Jacob. And guess what? Jacob stopped and he wrestled. He had an encounter. I preached the message a while ago saying, don't miss your visitation. My bio could very well read this. Eric Barkley, 32, no longer attends church. Doesn't have a family. Can't keep a job. Addicted to drugs and alcohol. I'm thankful for that. That's not what it reads. Eric, that's stupid. You were raised in church. You're sixth generation. Doesn't matter. I was one decision away from changing my eternity. Just like we are one decision away from changing our life for the better. Eric, your ancestors and their ancestors and their ancestors believed in this message. Doesn't matter. We are all one decision away from heaven or hell. I'm not sure what you're going to do, but today I'm choosing this day, Brother Paul, that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When we choose God and he gives us a new name, it's not just the name, it's everything that comes with it. It's the cross, it's the blood, it's the shedding of tears, it's the sacrifice. It's everything that could happen. Wrapped up into one event. It's your death. It's your life. It doesn't matter. One of the two will be chosen. Our spiritual DNA changes when we accept God. What we were bound to before is now loosed from us, and we are now free. I'm getting ready to wrap up. If the music could come, these altars are open. I'm not going to beg you to come. I believe that if we are serious about this, then we will make our way to an altar. We all have to make this decision. We all have to choose this day. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the world and the devil, or are we going to serve God? What do you want the history books to read about you? Rahab could have just kept along her ways and ignored that encounter. But she chose to change her life. And now she is written in the history books as an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. We will either stick with the old ways, if we could all stand, and allow our past to control us, or we will surrender our lives to God and watch him rearrange our future. I don't know about you. I want my son to know and to tell his children that my dad Eric, he served God. He made a decision when no one was looking, and he said, I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna choose this day who I'm going to serve. The devil thinks he can hold us down with chains of our family and our past and our own minds, but he can't. That is a facade. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You need to understand that. Today, you can make a decision to change your future and all of your children's future. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to extend an opportunity to you, and I've said it. This decision is on you. If you want to see changes in your life, and you want your future to be different than your past, you make your way to this altar and you ask God to move in your life. Why, Eric? Because it can start with you. Eric, I'm nobody. You're somebody. Jesus died for you. If the world puts such a focus on taking our names, don't you think it's important that we take on His name? Don't you think it's important that we choose to serve God in the world? Don't you think it's important that we make a decision today to forever change our future, our lineage, our genealogy, our family tree? Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want to serve God with my whole life. No matter what comes against me, I want to serve God. Thank you, Jesus. Worship with us.